typographer, teacher, and author of the first visual identity for the new Musée d'Orsay in Paris. He is an AGI member since 1979. In 2003, he was awarded honorary royal designer for industry. So I would like to ask you a warm applause for Bruno Monguzzi.
When my mother, it was the summer of 1941, at the very tip of southern Switzerland, decided to finally show the light to me. My father was still Italian. He was going to be naturalized, as they say in Switzerland, a few years later. My mother was Swiss. My father and my mother were very different from each other, and my brother was very different from me. He was damn good at everything. I grew up, so to speak, between two conceptions of the world. The one of my mother, a proto-liberal Catholic, and the one of my father, a veteran-social kind of Marxist. As a child, I never stopped asking why. As a young man, I dreamed about changing the world, first with a pencil, then with a fist. But, no, eventually, as any common man, of course, I was changed by the world. But it is probably due to these two crossing forms of moralism that the search for sense became for me a natural need, and that my father and my mother, unaware, became my first masters. She had the extraordinary humility not to understand when there was nothing to be understood. I would therefore go back to my drafting table and start all over again. He, a craftsman, loved with his hands, with his eyes, with his mind, everything he would do, and would never stop until perfection was achieved. Of course, I attended a Swiss design school, was a diligent student, acquired the good hand, was confronted with few dogmas and several private gospels, and had to discover, at my own expense, that a graphic design course had little to do with communication. Most of my why were unanswered, and for a kid in search of the universal language, this became too frustrating. I moved to London and became very involved in the study of visual perception. It is there in 1960 that I also began to study the typography of the avant-garde movements around the 20s, and that my eyes began to grasp the meanings beyond the look. It is there that the thick skin of an allegedly brilliant student began to peel off in a slow, long process, actually still in progress. It is surprising how radical the damage of a formalistic education can be. You learn a pseudo-style and you ignore the message, the scope, the receiver. The umbilical cord that links the eye to the brain and the brain to your hand may be irreversibly be cut then before you are even born. It is in London that I began to make a non-dogmatic distinction between objective and expressive typography. It is there that I stopped worrying about objectivity versus subjectivity, and I began to worry about appropriateness and relevance. For me, objective typography and functional typography were not necessarily synonymous anymore. It is in London that in the second issue of the Neue Graphic magazine, I was struck by the works of the Milanese Studio Bogeri, a design office that was run by a musician. The day I was 20, I flew to Milan. The elevator of Piazza Duse 3 was tiny, slow and shaky. During the long ascent to the fifth floor, I felt a bit uneasy. This sensation had to last for the following 2 years. I had fallen in love with the man, his ideas, the office overlooking the public gardens. The first week were very, very difficult. I used to work also at home at night, trying desperately to be good enough to be kept there. One day, I was called into his room. Lowering his thin face, he was a very tall man, and lifting his lean, long hands, the most beautiful hands I have ever touched, he began to talk about spider webs. All kinds of spider webs. I thought this was a very strange introduction to find someone. He went on and on for quite some time, or at least so it seemed to me, and finally he mentioned that Swiss graphic design was often as perfect as any spider's web. But often of a useless perfection. The web, he stated, was useful only when broken by the entangled fly. It is so that upon Bogeri's instigation began for me this slow, long, difficult hunt in the sterilized universe of a Swiss education for an improbable fly. Sitting in front of me, behind very thick glasses and in the midst of a permanent buzzing, Aldo Calabresi was working quietly. He, so myopic, would never miss a shot. It is because of him that a little fly or two began to fly around me also, finally, infringing upon my painstakingly constructed web. Leaving to the Freudians the broken grid, it is this fly, apparently, the identity that I have been trying to achieve in my work ever since. Identity which is probably rooted in this little triangle of Swiss land invading Italian soil, where people seem to be too Italian to be Swiss, but of course too Swiss to be considered truly Italians. In 1987, when Heinz Büttler asked me to work on the titles and on the poster for a documentary he had filmed in a Jewish home for the elderly outside Vienna, he brought a bunch of photographs taken during the shooting. The title of the film, Was geht mit der Frühling an? It means, what has spring got to do with me? Was taken from a conversation between Büttler and one of the residents, Frau Azerdal. I therefore kept only the picture she was in, and since no close-ups were available, I asked for the negative. Picked a frame, blew up a small portion, and began to work on the framing of her face. I now had the portrait, but not the poster. What I needed was an image that could tell the story, a picture with the strength of a symbol. I went back to the dark room, exposed this strong face, laid a narrow strip of cardboard between two film boxes, staying detached from the sensitive paper, and I exposed again without negative. The diagonal strip of light crossing her face was now telling the story. Words and colors could follow. Words. Let's talk about words. When we use a word, we are actually substituting something with something else. And the world, in fact, is going to represent in one way or another whatever is being substituted. For example, if I say Sarah, meaning the adorable Sarah that now you all know, I am substituting a person, that person, in a full complexity with just four letters. I am substituting what the semiologist named the referent with what they named the signifier. The referent being the object of the subject of the communication, in our case the actual person, the signifier being the device I am using, in our case her name, to communicate the referent to a given interlocutor. And here really lies the problem. How well this is substituting that. A problem, we could say, of transcription. Now, the same word, Sarah, as a matter of fact, can tell very different stories. Sarah! Her father. What is finally communicated, the signified, is not in this case directly related to the naming itself, but rather to the way in which the name was pronounced. In other words, the how defines the what. Let's make a visual example, hopefully a memorable one. Of course, you know, I'm talking to the students. I apologize for the grown-ups that are in the room. I can do that pretty chic. Or I can do that pretty shitty or quite disgusting. Or being Swiss, I can do that, which is pretty constipated. So to be clear, students, dear students, to be clear, before we start working, we have to make sure we know how shitty we want our shit to be. Going from objective typography to rather expressive typography. From typography where the formal content tends to fade out as much as possible to get across the message as neutrally as possible, for example, in a train timetable, to typography where the formal content tends to affirm itself immediately to predetermine the meaning, or to specify the meaning, or to implement a meaning or a disgusting smell. It is, first of all, a matter of intelligence. Typographic design is simply the vehicle through which words can be seen, read, and understood, hopefully, and possibly memorized. This is what I had answered a few years ago to the Japanese editor of the Idea magazine special issue on typography. For Rudy Rue's book, Basic Typography Designed with Letters, I had instead quoted Elitsinsky. Typographic design should use visual means in the same way as voice and gesture are used by the speaker to express his message. Mentioning that the assimilation of the typographer with the orator seemed to me the most relevant and intelligent provocation for young students, often sidetracked in the maze of passion beyond the confines of communication. I think that changes in design should be dictated by the content, not by the fashion system. New design, as Charles Zinn stated, comes from new problems. Let me quote another master. There is not a Castiglioni style. There is a Castiglioni method. A method, he added, of a designer out of fashion. In the summer of 1986, the competition to design the poster for the opening of the new Musée d'Orsay failed. Most entries were showing a painting or a detail from a painting. Others were showing the building or a detail from the building. The head of the curators realized that he did not want to see a painting, not even a detail from a painting, and the director did not want to see the building, not even a detail from the building. Having designed the logo and the signage, but not having entered the competition, I was called to Paris. All was needed was the date and the logo. A striking new brief. And here I am playing around with the logo and the date and the logo getting nowhere. Nothing was happening, nothing was opening, nothing was beginning, just nice with typography. I walked to my photography books, picked a Lartigue album, and slowly began to go through the pages. When I came over the image of his brother taking off with a glider, I knew I had the answer. The fly had broken the web. 10 days later, on Friday the 12th of September, at the age of 92, Jacques-Henri Lartigue died. The poster became a posthumous homage. Sometimes we have to disobey. Disobey the briefs when they are wrong. It means that you have to read them very carefully. Disobey the rules when they do not allow to reach the proper goal. Disobey dogmas and trends because they limit the range of the possible solutions. After that accursed night of November 1980, in which Irpinia was torn apart by an earthquake, I was asked by the Milan City Council to design overnight a diptych to announce the aid policy of the city and to solicit voluntary action. I fully agreed that the poster should be typographical. Tragic images are abused in such circumstances, and I was given a poem written by Franco Fortini that same morning and a rough copy of the text to flank the poem. Before leaving, I went upstairs to say hello to Roberto Sambonet, with whom I used to work. He had just arrived from Hamburg, and on his suitcase I saw a German newspaper, and on the newspaper a striking photograph of two mummies. I borrowed the paper and drove back to Switzerland. By the time I got home, I know I was in trouble. The picture was stronger than the poem. I recropped the photograph slightly, blew it up and made a half-size mock-up. Since all the Milan districts were involved, the presentation concerned over 20 people, all but one unknown to me. How they would react was totally unpredictable, but what I did know was that I had disobeyed the brief truly. They were all seated around a long table, silent, and looking very serious. I was holding the project and saying nothing. Finally, someone close enough for me to hear whispered, "It's moving." And the man by him replied, "It reminds me the Masaccio's frescoes in the Brancacci Chapel." In the winter of 1974, before designing the catalog, the poster and the exhibition Mayakovsky Merkel Stanislavsky, I met three ladies that came from Moscow. Since they were mostly talking about Mayakovsky, I suspected the show should not be divided in three equal parts. In fact, I was told, Mayakovsky will require most of the space. What about Stanislavsky, I asked. Much, much less. All the space, half of the space devoted to Mayakovsky will be more than enough. And what about Merkel? Well, in between the two, the boss stated. I took note. You know, I'm sorry, I took note. On the train from Milan to Chiasso, I designed the poster. On the train ticket. The three major figures of Russian theater, being quite different one another, and in order to recollect constructivism, I decided to work with three independent fields. I started from the bottom here and I went up. And not being creative, I decided to stop when I was hitting the border. And knowing that Stanislavsky is kind of opposite to Mayakovsky politically, Mayakovsky was left, he was revolutionary. Stanislavsky didn't care about politics, he only cared about theater. So I start from the opposite corner and come down. Now, the lady said that this was about half of the space of that, so, you know, I came down more or less half of this. And, you know, on a train, you're not very precise, but conceptually, the idea was there. Now, I could choose from this corner and this corner that was left. I decided to come down from this corner, hit the border. She said, kind of in between the two, in between the two, I came back. So, practically, the poster was designed. Some people think that there is only one way to do typography, that, you know, being Swiss, I can tell you. In order to have a proper personality, you have to conform to a given style, possibly yours. The problem arises when the spectrum of the communication is wider than the eye of your needle. So we could say constructivistic typography, messy typography, geometric typography, kinetic typography, catastrophic typography, Russian typography, Soviet typography, Bauhaus typography, Bastard Bauhaus typography, case one, Bastard Bauhaus typography, case two, classic typography, Baroque typography, post-Baroque neoclassic typography, neoclassic typography, surrealistic symbolistic kind of typography. It's getting too difficult for the student. Let's say floating typography. Swiss floating typography. It shouldn't float too much because it may fall. Peripheral typography. Integrative typography. Introspective typography. Minimal typography. Invisible typography. The title of the show was The Presence of Absence. The text is actually there. it would appear while walking closer to the poster. Thank you so much.